Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another live broadcasting of Keeping It Real. I'm your host, the Princess Kareem Aziz, and I'll be hosting today's show. I want to thank you for joining us again each and every week. We do appreciate your support, and we've got a great show prepared for today. On Thursday, every other Thursday, I do co-host or guest appear, I apologize, guest appear with Michael Hameen on Not Just Talk. Excuse my voice. And we were discussing, or I was sharing this Thursday, this past Thursday, if you were not with us, the details of what is PTSS, which is post-traumatic slave syndrome, and comparing that to PTSD. And the reason why I wanted to share that is because I recognize that we don't have a valid appreciation for the impact that trauma has on not just our lives, but everybody's lives. Trauma has an impact on everyone's life. And so Dr. Joy Guroy, the doctor I am studying from, she came up with a term that describes specifically the kind of trauma that slaves endured, and she called it post-traumatic slave syndrome. And this is also to give appreciation to the fact that descendants or survivors of chattel slavery do have right now active post-traumatic stress syndrome in the designer label of post-traumatic slave syndrome. Finally, I just want to quickly go over she defines post-traumatic slave syndrome. She says that the African-Americans sustained traumatic injuries as a result of slavery and continue to be injured by trauma caused by the larger society's policies of inequality, racism, oppression, and multi-generational oppression that restricts the access to the benefits of society. She points out that she finds that there is a large percentage of African Americans who suffer, specifically males, who suffer from vacant esteem, not low self-esteem, but their self-esteem is absent. There's vacant esteem. And so how did we get to having vacant esteem? Why is that important? Why is that significant? Some of these symptoms of the syndrome you would see would be persistent feelings of anger, internalized racist beliefs. There's that deep-rooted cultural aspect of the trauma in our in how we relate to each other and how we practice our culture. It's fair to say that our culture is shaped by that experience, and if we've not unpacked the trauma that developed, that contributed to our post-traumatic slave syndrome, then we still can carry on the deep-rooted cultural beliefs, whether it's in the form of many different forms, in the form of internalized racist belief. We all know what that is. We all experience that. And then the vacant esteem or the feelings of anger. Now, PTSD to PTSS. Basically, PTSS is a form of chronic post-traumatic stress, where the trauma or the stressor is endured for a long period of time, and in this case, it's multi-generational. Some examples of trauma that will lead to experiencing post-traumatic stress would be being the victim of sex trafficking or child sexual abuse. Did our ancestors experience this? Frequent community violence, same question. Did they experience this and for how long? An uprooting of home life stability, access to resources. We did experience that. She also goes on to say that there's a different monster involved as it relates to PTSS. It's specific, it's systemic, and it's intentional. She points out areas that are in the area of science, we were labeled as less than human scientifically. Medically, we were used as lab rats, used in the most brutal ways. We're very familiar with that. There were laws passed in the political aspect, in the political area. There were laws passed that would criminalize any of our behaviors, normal behaviors, just walking about, if you will. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to go through a timeline because question I get when I want to get information or engage conversation with people over social media is how could we currently be suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome if we were never slaves? And that means that we don't know what post-traumatic stress syndrome is, and more specifically, don't have an appreciation for post-traumatic slave syndrome. I didn't either. I didn't have even an appreciation for PTSD. 5 years ago, my daughter was critically injured. I suffered a traumatic brain injury. No one in our family, my mom, my husband, myself, had any appreciation for how traumatic that experience was for her. She came to me and through me, paying attention to her not being so as successful as she wanted to be in college, we sent her to school four semesters in a row. I needed to get a medical discharge for her 4 semesters in a row. That was my fault. That was our fault. We did not know. We thought your head appears to be healed, your back is fixed, your lungs have repaired, everything looks good. You must be okay. We were wrong. And we were scolded by a psychologist when he found out that we had sent her back to school after 6 months of recovery. Basically, he was like, oh, my God, no, you didn't. So that's when I began to have an appreciation for what could be going on with her. And that started the ball rolling with me looking into this more and growing appreciation for this. I recognize that it wasn't in my language. It wasn't in anywhere. I mean, my mother to this day, her grandmother, and on both sides, have difficulties grasping that she's still struggling. Now, this is an injury that she sustained 5 years ago. But I say that again to say that I could have and may have done more injury to her by not being aware of the impact of a brain injury could have. Compare that to centuries of traumatic events over and over and over and over again. And I'll say this, we are a resilient people, survivors. Our soul is cannot be broken. I'm finding that too in my research. Where we are today versus where we were 100 years ago or 200 years ago, alhamdulillah, as they say, no one but God can explain why we are where we are today. And we have the potential to go further, and we will, and we are. So we're not victims of this experience. We are survivors of this experience. We're getting to know more about how the experience impacted us so it can empower us to make moves or adjustments so that we can make continuous steps to improve. But I want to say this. We're a resilient people. We are survivors. Really, we are survivors. I want to go over the timeline. So I've got the PTSD. A traumatic event happens which causes an injury emotionally. It's a psychological injury caused by a traumatic event. Domestic violence, child abuse or neglect, stability, home life stability, I don't know why I'm stuttering today. Forgive me. Unrest, if you will. So I want to be mindful that for 200 or 300 years, let me go to my timeline. The timeline starts in 1662. So from there, we've got from 1662, we've got laws being made specifically to label the children of mothers, children of slaves, to be slaves because of their mother. this is important because there the areas in which this machine was put together as far as systemic racism, they didn't miss any area of society. In religion, they were taught in school, I mean in church, that we were less than human and not destined or entitled to God's blessings. Joy points out that the reason why the influence in religion, the influence in science, the influence in education, systemic racism was taught and nurtured in every aspect of society. It's not just policies and procedures. Every aspect, there was every aspect of society, religion, medicine, psychology, science, all those areas, we were labeled. This wasn't a secret to us. So they didn't label us these terms or these laws weren't passed unbeknownst to us. So ask yourself, what would that do to your self-esteem and your identity if you're labeled an animal? You're hung like an animal, grilled and eaten like an animal. What does that do to your psychology? And is that not enough trauma to pay attention to, if you will? We don't have time to go into the full timeline in detail, but starting in 1662, we got 1704, the slave patrols. Of course, we know what they're for. Slave hospitals in 1840, 1850, the desire to escape is pathologized, calling it drapetomania, the desire for a slave to be free or to run away. Then there's a civil war in 1865. I'm sorry, that ends in 1865. As soon as the war ended in 1865, you get the emergence of the Ku Klux Klan. And in the same year, we've got the 13th Amendment, that slaves are technically free. We now, with the exception of those that are in prison. No surprise that that same year there were the institution of black codes, and then there's the increase, of course, of arrest, and then there's the convict leasing. And 75% of Alabama's revenue came from convict leasing in 1880. Between 1882 and 1968, we were actively lynched under the social order of Jim Crow. So 1882 to 1968, how many of us were born in 1968? Then you've got between the 1930s and 60s, we've got the redlining practices and so many other practices, the segregation and so forth and so on. 1970 to present, we've got mass incarceration, the war on drugs, passes the law that gave 1 to 100 despairing sentences for crack cocaine versus cocaine. The lynching, we just passed the anti-lynching bill, the Emmett Till Lynching Act. And the reason why, again, I'm bringing this up is because we want to get a timeline of when the oppression happened, a little bit of how it happened, the systemic part, and then when it, quote-unquote, supposedly ended. When did it end? I'm not going to say that it's still going on or not going on. That's not an argument I'm going to make. I want to ask, when did the beginning or the unlayering or dismantling of the systemic racism happen for us in our mind? The shackles came off, but our culture was shaped by that experience, us just trying to survive the the adjustments that we made, you know, just everything from the way we speak, how we engage, why we laugh, when we laugh, all those things are shaped by our experience as chattel slaves, our ancestors' experience as chattel slaves. So the first free slaves did not stop being culturally the same parents they were when they were slaves. They didn't just say, oh, we got a new book now on parenting. We're going to parent different. We have a new book on leadership. We're going to lead differently, so forth and so on. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. The adjustment was to, you know, the adjustment did not specifically unpack all of the trauma that was endured. And it's very difficult to unpack, especially when your whole culture is ingrained. Something so simple, something so seemingly innocuous as how we judge ourselves, judge our children, and how we even parent them. How we look at our sons to see if he's acting well, or if he's, or how hard we are on our children to make sure that they are seen doing well. That's just an example, if you will. So I gave just a little bit of the background and different timelines so we can have a visual. For those that are saying, how could we be affected by slavery if we weren't a slave? Well, when did we become unaffected is what my question is. When did we become unaffected? I can remember racism actively growing up as a child, and I can remember. So I just, my daughter has experienced racism and she's, you know, 23 years old. But again, this isn't an argument. I'm making about the, you know, whether or not we're still so oppressed, making the argument that we should pay attention to the impact that trauma had on our culture, trauma has on our current mindset right now, so that we can unpack and unravel and those things that hold us back, if you will. Now, I did some digging, some research, in the history of psychiatry. Going over this timeline, I became a little interested in how psychiatry came about. And interestingly, it came about at about the same time racism was born. And the history of psychiatry, there was some pushback on the field of psychiatry from philosophers that argued that psychiatry was attempting to pathologize different kinds of human personalities so that they could monopolize or treat those pathologies with medicines or pharmaceuticals that they had invented or produced, if you will. So there's some vested interest in the field of psychiatry. I looked up what the word psychiatry mean, and it means soul, conditions of the soul. And I found that to be very interesting. You know that these are issues of the soul, and you do know that this is a place put together by the Creator. And why do I say that? Because they use the word psychiatry, and they know they use the word soul. Soul is not a medical or scientific term. They can't prove that there's an existence of the soul, but they know that there's a soul. And so that dividing man's psychology out away from God's wisdom is what they were aiming for, the aim of psychiatry. So do I trust the field of psychiatry? Not entirely. But do I say avoid therapy if you need it? Never. I would never say that. I would just say it would be a supplement to guiding you, if you will. Use it as a supplement and don't depend on them to solve anything for you, if you will. So we have a caller right now. Go ahead, before I go on, take this caller. We have 636-980. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from. And what's your comment?
Wa alaikum as-salam. This is Kareem Hamid. Praise be to Allah. And as always, you have a very thought-provoking broadcast. This is so important. You're sharing the definition of psychiatric, that it is really the soul. To trust our soul to one that won't even acknowledge the existence of the soul and someone that has constructed the soul in a certain pattern is very risky. You know, Imam Muhammad shared with us early in his leadership to be somewhat wary of therapists. He said, this language has been constructed from a knowledge base. Very intelligent people that constructed the language.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the word therapist, separate the thing from the rapist. And what do you have? The rapist.
Oh.
They rape your soul.
Oh, wow.
They rape your soul. To me, it is a rape in that you're not acknowledging the causal effect. And he who created the cause and the soul. You are raping that soul of its origin and its original nature. So now I'm not anti-therapist. There are some excellent therapists. Please do not, but just go in with the mindset of what is being examined. It is your soul, whether he acknowledges it or not, because he may be able to give you some good information. I'm not against it. Therapy and therapists, but we have to be aware that if someone would not acknowledge, if someone would not acknowledge that I have the flu and that the flu came from a flu virus, you know, it just stands to reason.
Right.
It is very risky. So I'm not against therapy. If you need it, get it. But go in with the mindset someone is examining your soul. So I'll just stop right there, my sister. Thank you. And as always, very thought-provoking. Praise be to Allah. The soul never forgets. The mind may forget. But what is registered on the soul, it never forgets. The soul is infinite. It never dies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so correct in connecting the trauma to the condition of the soul. Why are we in this situation? Well, they reached into our soul. They used God and religion as a pretext for our mistreatment and us not having a choice of religion. Many came and they were separated, well, you know, from their parents and all of that. They had no idea of their former life. And they gave them a form of Christianity designed by them. And it touched the soul of the African American people. But they had no choice. It touched their soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that slave, obey your master. If someone slapped you on one cheek, give him the other. Love those that spitefully hate you. That enters the soul when you believe that your soul is at stake. So we're still reverberating from what has happened to our soul. And you are starting at a very good point, because the soul inside Allah will feed the mind. If we just attack the mind, if we just come at the mind, that's not deep enough. So I thank you once more for your in-depth research and sharing this knowledge with us. Thank you, Luke Francis Aziz. We thank Allah for you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I looking into when I found out the word psychiatry, psych means soul, I was like, wow. So they do know that this is an issue of the soul. They are aware of that. They were attempting to dissect or the soul, trying to figure out the mechanisms and how it works. They're not doing this independent of Quran and scripture. You can't do it without it. So they are aware. They are very much aware of that. And I want to share, I see the caller, I will take, I want to share my experience with therapy. It's been a long, hard journey. There's a language issue. There is, and even if I have a therapist that's of the same background, they were taught by someone who still uses the same language, and they still use the same assessment. And nowadays, these assessments are in a computer, and they come out with, you know, the computer comes out with, you know, a score, and, you know, this is what they suspect that you might be struggling with. The limitations I see in that is we have a different value system. Despite all that we have gone through, we have a different value system. And I'll give you an example. Someone may be okay with being different and okay with being quote-unquote weird. That doesn't equate to them not, to them feeling as if people don't like them. There's some kind of, I expect you to have low self-esteem, so this value system that you're, this what you're saying to me, because I expect you to have a low outlook on yourself or expect a low view of yourself, this is basically what I'm saying is you're more likely to not be appreciated. Your experience may not be relatable, because that's just not for anything that you know, read about or study about in depth enough to be able to serve the African-American community. So that's one limitation. I will say this. What I'm learning from her in the therapist that I have now, that this is a difficult relationship I'm having with this young lady right here, because it's challenging. I'm dealing with a whole lot just even being in, I have some issues with being in this kind of relationship with anybody, let alone someone who's not like me, number one. But I'll say that, sir?
Yes, Imam Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi shared with us that we have a unique condition of the soul.
Yes, absolutely.
The uniqueness of the African American soul.
Yeah, you know, very unique.
Right, and we can point out what makes it unique, but we want solutions now. We want to heal ourselves and heal others. I'll stop there, my sister. Thank you.
You're welcome. What I'll say is, in my sessions with her, we deal with the emotions that I say that I'm having, the anxiety, the anger, the frustration, and she has me sit with that emotion and have me communicate with that emotion. She's not guiding me. She's just giving me the techniques to look at those feelings and see where they come from, where might they be rooted in, so we can deal with the root of the matter. What I would say. She can't tell me. She can't drive me. I'm the driver in the session. She's just, you know, in the passenger seat. what may have you. So I just wanted to share that if anyone's having apprehension of what, you know, therapy would be like. No one's manipulating my soul or my mind. There's no manipulation. But I will say this, I'm appreciative that she's in, because we have developed ways of coping with stress that don't mean addressing it. So in therapy, I'm given the tools to address the anxiety, and where this has taken me has been mind blowing. I mean, and it's given me the tools to go home and heal. I didn't know where to go and cry. I didn't have more direction on where to look and how to search in Quran for the prescription, because now I know. Now I got better, a better understanding, if that makes sense. So I'm going to take the next caller, and then we'll take the first break of the evening, if you will. We've got 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Say your name, and what's your super? Go ahead.
Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, and thank you for the program and the focus that you're sharing. A lot of our issues as African Americans come out of us not knowing how God designed us and how the human being is to operate. We were given influences like the world of psychology, by and large, is secular. It doesn't invite
right.
the creator into the process. And depending on where what the therapist's values are. And there's much problematic issues with, you know, you mentioned anger. Well,
mm-hmm.
we look at anger as being a way of protecting ourselves from something that we fear. You know,
right.
there are a lot of fear-based issues that we have. Am I not conforming enough to the social standards? Or I'm trying to conform, but my soul is unsatisfied in doing so. We mentioned some time back this phenomenon that was brought into the public arena with the revolutionary group and their capturing of a wealthy young woman. She was the heir to the Hearst newspaper. Newspaper money. And
mm-hmm.
they gave as a defense for her joining this revolutionary group in a bank robbery, they used this defense that was based upon a robbery in Sweden, a bank robbery, and
mm-hmm.
over the time there was a hostage situation, and over the time the hostages began to identify with the hostage takers, with the bank robbers, and so when they went to court, the bank robbers were captured. When they went to court, the hostages spoke well of the bank robbers. Now, that's a micro situation, but you can take it, but the social order doesn't want us to take that example and multiply it within the conditions of chattel slavery and what came
mm-hmm.
after. First, you're emptying out of people, so that makes them more acceptable of conditioning, you know, psychological conditioning. And then, you
mm-hmm.
know, you're dependent upon the slaveholder. So the same kind of dynamics developed in slavery for a whole group of people, our ancestors, you know, where we became psychologically attached. And you've heard individuals talk about the attachment was so great that when the slave spoke to the master didn't look well. The slave would say, are we sick, boss? You know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of identification is very telling. And, you know, there are times when some of us don't feel that we're measuring up. It's just like, I'm going to end with this. We have individuals, I think you mentioned one to me off air, that refuse to see the scientific evidence of conditioning of African Americans. And they're rugged individualists. They want us to, you know, stand up, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, even if we're not wearing boots. But you know, they curate scenarios and ideas that we have to just get over it. And I would agree with that up to a point. That there's a certain amount of help that God has put in us in terms of being resilient, you know. But if I think the proper framing, our present day experiences, along with the awareness that there were certain conditioning of our ancestors that we never really unwrapped or unfolded, you know, to look at, and how the conditioning of our ancestors in terms of the psychological programming, and how we never unpacked that, we never dealt with that to any greater length, as the Dr. Joy DeGruy talks about in post-traumatic slave syndrome. So I'll stop there. Thank you.
Yeah, the unpacking, no, we never did unpack it, but that pulling yourself up from your bootstraps, we are resilient people. We're doing that. We're doing that. Even if we got to make the boots and grab the straps, we're doing that. I'm going to give us that credit. We first need to be very mindful and regardful for the impact of chattel slavery on our culture.
Yes.
There's no place in our culture that's not shaped, molded, impacted by chattel slavery. Whooping our children. This is my house. You do as I say. Every the disciplines are around what you do to something material, a lot of, you know, as opposed to what are you going through? What's going on here? And then here's the thing. I'm healing myself while I'm trying to help facilitate my daughter's healing. And I'm recognizing some things. They're just like, had I not been aware, if it wasn't on my forefront to be aware of, you know, the trauma that she's going through and how that presents, I would do more harm. Because when you have an injury of the magnitude and the place it is, it's a personality. Her personality is affected. So you will experience some things that will trigger you as her parent. And it will raise some things in you that will want to do some things based on what you were taught. But now that I know better and I'm learning better, this is a symptom. What you're doing is a symptom. It's hard. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It's hard because I have to constantly remind myself that that's not appropriate here. I know Mama told you this, and I know everybody else believed that. You know, I've had, you know, some sharing with others trying to get an understanding of what people's minds were on traumatic brain injury, and if we even have appreciation for that. And share an example of something that, you know, something she and I might have experienced. And I get that she's in your house. She does what you're supposed to do, or put her out. She's grown, put her out. Whoa.
They don't,
I'm like, did you miss the introduction when I told you she's struggling mentally? Yes. Did you miss
yes,
that part?
Did. Yeah, they did.
Because she's smiling and because she can, you don't see the injury on the outside. She's not wearing a helmet. But what you do see, anger. What you see, fear. What do you see? Fright. It's just, she's frightened.
Yeah.
She's angry a lot. There's depression. We don't have. I'm having to go and get appreciation for this. This wasn't putting me. That's why I'm doing what I do. It's a life. It's a do or die for me. I gotta do it, or I'm not gonna be the parent Allah chose me to be. Because this is an experience that I'm having to parent through. But I that's something I do recognize, that when I've shared those experiences, I'm trying to get to see, gauge where people's mindset is. Can they appreciate their child having issues? And the reason I shared some experiences, because they would share with me what's going on with them and their child. And I could see clearly there's fear there. And then I hear in the exchange, there was no stopping to ask what's going on. There's no stop to ask inside. And then here's the thing. There's going to be a trust issue off the bat because the language isn't there.
Yeah.
I don't sound organic. My daughter, she says I sound fake. Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm working on it, because the real me is not the me that's going to help this. The real me, the me that was raised, would hurt this and tear it all up. You would be somewhere. If I will put you in an insane asylum. That's the real me. You know that I'm in charge. You do what I say. Do blah blah blah. But this is our home. You should be able to heal in this house.
I would say that's an artificial you, you know, to be more exact.
Well,
the fitri you is the one that's trying to figure this out in a humane way, not, you know, well, I'm in charge, I'm in control, and the fear of what happens if this person doesn't respond properly to me, they're going to be a problem in the society, and I don't want them to be hurt like that, you know, that kind of fear. The fear of what will happen.
Disrespected. How dare you disrespect me? That there.
Yeah.
You disrespect me. It's not disrespectful. It's more so like a toddler who doesn't speak words. You have to discern what their emotions are telling you. So even though she speaks English, I gotta look to another
translate.
Way. I gotta find another way, because what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is not the issue. The issue is behind there, but why can't she speak on it? Because we don't have the language. But she did come to me and said, I'm having some, she came to me and she said, I don't see myself. See herself.
Wow.
She said, I look and I don't find me.
Wow.
And that was, you know, that just put me in gear. I said, I gotta pay attention to, I don't get to ignore my anxiety or the things that I'm dealing with. I have to fix that, because if not, then I'm going to show up needing healing when I should be facilitating healing.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
That's the biggest point I want to make is that this is the individual. We want to save our children, but we're not going to save them if we don't heal ourselves. We're not going to steer this next generation in the right way. We don't if we don't heal ourselves. But I'm going to go over
you,
the.
Appreciate
go ahead.
You. No, I appreciate you sharing. You wanted to go through a break. This is so important, you know, because there are people that have parallel issues, and particularly the ones that you're bringing up about being in control. Where does that come from? You know, rather than the nurturing and identifying that certain behavior
glad you
is
asked
acting.
That.
Go ahead.
Glad you asked that. They are one of the four main four trauma responses to injury. You've got fight, which seeks to eliminate the threat by establishing power over the threat. That's where the control comes in. I have to control this thing so that I can eliminate a threat. I have to control this thing. And how it looks in our community is having control every aspect. Your child does something you don't understand in a different generation. They speak differently. Then your fight is activated. We've got the flight, which is protection through escape. I want to get away from this. I want to get away from this. I want to run from this. We see that too in our culture. We'll get into that. We see it in our culture as anxiety and fidgety, and it also shows up as anger, because anxiety will turn into anger. Freeze. Protection through disassociation, you unconsciously detach.
Yeah.
I free. If I do nothing, I don't get harmed. And then there's the thaw. Protection through placation. People pleasing. Over apologizing. Difficulty saying no, setting healthy boundaries with those that are stressing. That bring the stress, difficulty setting boundaries, excessive flattering, going out the way to please them, neglecting your own needs and pretending to agree with them. You have a comment.
I apologize. You were going to go to a break, but we opened up a whole opened up another door.
Let me go ahead and do my due diligence and take this break, and we'll come back right after a short message from our sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. You're listening to Keeping It Real. I'm your host, Princess Karima Aziz, and we are talking about soul restoring, the restoration of our soul. I want to share this. In 2012, I was teaching. 2010, I was teaching here in Memphis, Tennessee. I had a group of seven-year-olds, second grade. And we were teaching them math. And the young man, seven-year-old, said, "Miss Smith, I'm not good at math." I said, "John, why do you think you're not good at math? You're not good at anything. You're only seven." No, I'm not good at math." Where do you think he got that from? Who taught that boy he's not good at math? You're just learning 2 + 2. How could you not be good at math? You are good at math. But he was taught he wasn't good at math. And where do we get that from? He's not smart. She ain't smart. She's dumb. She's not good at math. We downplay the accomplishments of our children. And we downplay our own. We limit our own selves so that we, too, will avoid certain traumas or certain injuries we think this developed out of child slavery. That culture developed out of child slavery. We are the smartest people in this country, in the world. We are. We are the smartest people in the world.
Well, I'm gonna say what Forrest Gump said. You know, smartness is what smartness does.
Okay, so I take that back. We're most intelligent. We're some of the most intelligent people. We don't do smart things. We don't make smart decisions. And we're going to be all right. We're starting to make better decisions when we understand where those bad decisions stem from. Because when you know, once you know, you freed a layer. You've taken a layer off your soul and freed it up. Once you know, and you can see. If you can see, what became apparent to me is first of all, to treat PTSD, you first have to have a cessation of the trauma. You have to be free from the trauma in order for the healing to begin. When were they free from the trauma? It didn't happen when we were free. They were lynching us right up until 1968. They just passed the Emmett Till Act in 2022. So when did the stress say stop in order for us to heal? And by their own standards, PTSD is a long-term illness, and it needs long-term treatment, or it
yes.
can be lifelong or develop into other things like bipolar, depression, anxiety, ADHD, all those things they've labeled, if you will. But those things birth, they have their roots in PTSD. Why? They have their roots there. So we're right at about the 3 minutes before. I want to appreciate you all for coming this week. Do come again. Every week we're going to be learning more. We're going to get into how to see this machine, so we can dismantle this machine. That's really what we're doing here. And there's so much healing that needs to be done, and there's not enough trust in that system or their system. I don't think we should trust them to heal our minds. They are the ones who put together the system to break our minds. Hence the term, I'm going to break you up from that. Heard that before. That came from there. That experience, that time period, being broken up from something. Anyway, they broke our mind. And I've been told, you can't heal in the space you were hurt. So they, quote unquote, was the space. They used their knowledge. They manipulated their science. They used medicine. They used religion. Every place you look, there was something there to block us or to tell us, no, you are this. This is what you are. So I don't know how much faith I can have in the system per se.
Thank you for creating.
Thank
you for creating a safe space.
Alhamdulillah. So we're going to keep it going. I'm going to get out the seat so we can go ahead and listen to Contemplation of Imam with Imam W.D. Muhammad, with the Imam Kareem and Michael Hamid and Sister Hassan, I do believe. So, assalamu alaikum. Thank you all for joining us. I am with Michael Hamid. I'm not just talking every other week. Also talking about the same subject as we learn more about this monster, this machine, so we can dismantle it and free our souls. Assalamu alaikum. Have a great week. And mashallah. Thank you. Hugs from here.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Muwahhid Din Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. Allah, we begin with Allah's name. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Michael Hameen. Once again, we welcome the listening audience to the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi. Praise be to Allah. Let me open my co-host mic. Okay.
Alaykum assalam.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. How are you this evening, Mike?
I'm blessed by the best. I thank Allah for being able to be here. Alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
How are you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm fine. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Yes, I have some good days and bad days, and this happens to be a good day. Alhamdulillah. Praise
be
to Allah.
The song goes, we won't complain.
Right. Thank you. Yes, yes. Let me share with the listening audience that we are sharing with you a Ramadan session that was held in 1995, February the 26th, 1995. This is session two of that Ramadan session, and it is from out of Athens, Georgia. Praise be to Allah. Let me give you the topics for this lecture. Topic one is everything has its knowledge context. Topic two, Lord of all systems of knowledge. Topic three, the heart of the earth. Topic four, another sunrise. Topic five, God pictured as a potter. Topic six, Jesus, the first and second Adam. Topic seven, the meaning of Nost, G-N-O-S-T. Topic eight, Mary, a learning environment. Topic nine, cases in the Word of God. No, pardon me, tree in the Word of God. Muhammad on the mountain and in the cave. Topic 11, Muhammad is a social community. Topic 12, Adam, a giant. Topic 13, the Quran, our life vain. The Quran, our life vain. Topic 15, the Khalifa sitting on the throne. Those are the three major topics that the Imam will discuss with us in this Ramadan session that was held February 26, 1995 in Athens, Georgia. Last week we left off at page, yes, praise be to Allah. Okay, let me see now. Okay. Yes. Yes, and we left off at page 169. For those of you that may be reading along with us, I'm sharing with you from volume one of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad. And if you have that, we invite you to read along with us as we share this valuable insight and inspiration from Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi. The first subject matter that we shall deal with or share with you is the subject matter of Lord of all systems of knowledge. Lord of the systems of knowledge. Now, where is the hint for man? Allah wants to talk to man, wants man to see big mistakes, little mistakes, compared to what it is now. When the Quran was revealed, perhaps it was a small, or perhaps it was a small mistake. Now it is a very, very monumental mistake, an error on the part of man, on the part of scientific thinkers. When they give us the sciences of plants, animals, man, the inanimate world, everything, they don't give us that in the name of God. They give us that in the name of man. So this is what Allah is addressing. This tendency was in man before to do that. Adam is addressing that man, you think, the world of science, and each science is a system of knowledge. Am I correct? Were created by you, that the science was created by the thinker, was created by you. You think you're the Lord. Lord also means teacher. Because God, in creating this universe, he also cares for our life and also instructed our life. So he's also our teacher. And you think you're the Lord, the maker, and the revealer, and the sustainer of these systems of science. No, Allah the Creator, he is the Lord of your systems of knowledge, your systems of science. This is the best. Find anything better than that. Don't look for it east, west, north, or south. It doesn't exist. There's no understanding of that better than that. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help you. I don't want any credit. Lord of the systems of knowledge. So how does God hint that he's talking to man? Though he's talking about the whole universe, how does he hint that he's talking to man? Because the ending is for living creatures. Elamin, Elamina. You don't got that in on it unless it's talking about living creatures and men, human beings. He is the Lord of the Elamin. They hear it and they're upset. They hear me say that. Atiq Muhammad put in the paper and put a big drawing of it. He depicted it in drawings, drew up the universe, and instead of calling them planets, he called them Elamin. And he used my quote, Lord of the systems of knowledge. Ben went there.
Yeah.
They took it. Yes, sir. Yes, Michael?
Yes, that went there.
Okay, that went there. They used it and they looked at it. They commented on it and they talked about it. The imam is not qualified to do this. What he's saying now will appeal to our alima, to the members of the ulama. He will penetrate our ranks. So let us give the tafsir on this correct this way. So they go and use learned men from the past, and they quote them and everything, and use support from them. I don't differ with their translation, but say it needs to be improved upon. They need more. Lord of the Jinn. That doesn't say as much as I say, that God bless me to say, Lord of the systems of knowledge. Lord of the Jinn and Lord of men. We don't know the jinn. Who knows the jinn? We've been told about, we don't know the jinn. We don't live with them. They live with us, but we don't live with them. So they're having a time. I'm really keeping them busy, and it's good for them. It's going to make them better. Make them see more. That's right. And that's the way God, Prophet Muhammad said, my mission shall return to those who supported it first. That's the poor. It doesn't mean just the poor in material, but the poor in knowledge. They were the Jahiliyyah, weren't they? Yeah. And believe me, there are Arabs who are very arrogant, not only Arabs, but overseas Muslims, and very prejudiced. And I've heard them refer to us as the Jahiliyyah. They mean in the whole concept of America, the West, but they have referred to us as the Jahiliyyah, that we're the Jahiliyyah. Which was right. We were the Jahiliyyah. All of us were Jahiliyyah, and them too. They lost Islam. They lost the light, and we were just taken from the light. We were separated from the light. But I believe we would be lost too, because those that they left back there in Africa, they're lost. They didn't bring all of them over here. The Africans left over there, they're more lost than the Arabians, the Arabs. They're more astray from Islam than the Arabs, much more astray. They're all messed up. Their problem is spiritualism. They're just too much spiritualism in their religion. So much for that. Quote from the Quran. Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. For all this time, they were satisfied to tell us it means Lord of all the world. For all of these decades, a century or more, but as soon as I came up with something else, they want to know. Lord of the jinn and men and everything that exists. That's okay. Good competition is always good for us. It's good for them and it's good for us. I'm glad I don't have to go to them for water. Praise be to Allah. I'm telling you, that's a mercy. Okay, so when we finish, I invite you to ask questions and make comments, discuss, and if anyone differs with it, that's good. We have to respect differences. Believe me, if you present something better than what I have, what I will submit, but don't just differ, then hold back and be quiet. Then when you leave here, you go to Yawa Sufi Ha Sudurin Nas. Because I'll find out, and I'm going to brand you. Yeah, I'm going to put your real brand right on you. So now we get to the second thought that I want to bring to your attention and discuss. The passage or reference in the gospel as it presently exists that I mentioned earlier, we should expect Christ to come, peace be on him. You know, it is said in the narration of his end of this earth, the final moments of his on this earth, that he was put on a cross, right? But it tells us that he was taken off the cross. And it says he was put away, embalmed. That's what the language establishes, that he was embalmed. He was embalmed and being locked up. In fact, the wrappings up of him and the application of certain oils, spices, and whatever, that is the embalming. That is the preserving of him, according to the gospel. And then he was put away in a chamber. Is that right? He was put away in a chamber. The imam now is going to explain three steps on this subject matter. Three steps. First step, crucifixion. Second step, embalming. Third step, burial. And the imam goes forward. So look at the steps now. The crucifixion, then embalming and entombing, right? Three. Now, the expectation is questioned. The expectation is questioned. Some obviously thought that he should be in the sacred chambers, and others perhaps thought that he would be on the mountain. I believe mountain is used. Yes, mountain. And I don't know if the sky is used there in this particular place that I'm addressing now in the gospel. But I know in many places the sky is used. They tell us to expect him to come in clouds. He will come in clouds. He will come riding the clouds as the lightning flashes. And the lightning flashing from the east even unto the west. That's how it's given. So all of this has meaning. All of this has meaning. Jesus in the heart of the earth for 3 days. Jonah in the well for 3 days. Now it says, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the big fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Is that not correct? So really, what it is saying is that he will not be in the sacred chambers. He will not be on the mountaintop. And I include he will not be in clouds or riding clouds. But he will be as Jonah. Now, is this explanation or interpretation necessarily outright, canceling anything else that was said? No. Again, that would be a mistake for a student of the Bible to come to that conclusion. No, not outright. It is offering a better focus It is offering better light on him, but not necessarily saying that everything that was said in the past is incorrect or has no value. No, because he does come from his sacred chambers, come as the lightning flashes out of the east into the west. And he does come from his second chamber, and he does come from mountains. All of that is true. But what is the best focus for me? Subject, heart of the earth. Imam Muhammad says, according to this language in the gospel, the heart of the earth is the best focus for it. Now, before there are clouds or lightning flashing and all of those things, the mountain, there's the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth is symbolic of two important things and perhaps much more. One is the potential in the intellect that strains for expression. You know, the sun was thought to rise up out of the earth, not just from the earth, on the horizon. It was thought before science. It actually rises up out of the earth. That mystified man. And don't think that's stupid. If we hadn't been told any different, to our eyes, it seems to be coming up out of the earth, especially when we're looking at a sunrise on the water, on the ocean. It actually seems to be coming up out of the ocean. Now, the figure of the sun separates from the ocean. It looks like it's even dropping some of its firm back onto the water. So it makes you think that the sun is a ball of liquid fire. And that's pretty close to the description, though scientifically speaking, it will make you think that the sun is a ball of liquid fire, and it's coming up out of the earth again to make another day. And when it sets, it appears as though it is going back down into the earth. And as it gets closer to the earth, it cools like solids that you heat up. They turn like a white glow, and as they cool, they get reddish and then become dark without any light. So without science, that's what we would see. It is science that make us see it differently. Now, don't we use pictures and stories to teach young children? The Creator has put his creation and his mold, has created his man to make his man first see the reality of the world that he lives on. And in preschool language, he uses preschool language. But that preschool language, once he tries to understand it, decipher it, try to get what it's saying to him, to really a college language. Yes, now let me show you. Allah is teaching with his creation. Let's put ourselves back into the position of pre-science man. I mean pre-modern science man. It was late when he started to look at it the way he look at it now. It wouldn't be surprised if there are some communities of man on the earth right now that see it the way I'm talking about. They have rejected science. they probably don't even accept that the earth rotates around the sun and all of that. I shall pause now and share a brief commentary. And if there's any of you that would like to express yourself, press one on your phone, I will unmute your mic. In relationship to the Imam's last statement, that there are people, there's a group, an organized group, and they are known as flat earthers. Some of them still exist. They are known as flat earthers, and they still insist that the earth is flat in 2023. So they are using the pre-science eyes looking at the creation. Okay, Michael, before I go to a public service announcement, is there anything you would like to add, my brother?
No, sir. We do have a
As-salamu
call.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday. Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time.
God's peace be upon you.
There we go. Okay. Praise be to Allah. These fingers of mine sometimes make mistakes. Okay, I'm going to open. Wait a minute. Let me share a public service announcement. And I see you, area code 347. I shall open up your mic promptly after we share these wonderful public service announcements, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Aprita Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. I'm going to open up the mic of air code 347-336. Mahasan Abdul Salam, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me? Okay, great.
Loud and clear.
Well, I just want to make sure. Sometimes we leave that mute on and we're just talking and nobody is hearing.
Yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, we're only human. But I'm happy to be joining back in today. And I have been away for a while working on a special project, very interesting project. and we are about halfway through. So I don't really know when I will be coming back to assume the position of a co-host on this, but I'm happy to hear that the reading is still going on. Like you were reading, you said Imam Muhammad said, so when we finish, he said, I invite you to ask questions and make comments, discuss, and if anyone differs with it, that's good. We have to respect differences, okay? So believe me, he says, if you present something better than what I have, I will submit. And I think that that's excellent, what we call kosher or halal advice for all of those who are students and interested in learning more, asking Allah to increase our knowledge, increase our understanding, and of course, increase our wisdom. It was, as a former teacher, I was listening to you talk about the pre-science eyes. In teaching preschool, you get really familiar with what that looks like and how it expresses itself in the younger students. You say that currently today, there's still a group of believers who say the earth is flat. MashaAllah.
A group of people. I wouldn't term them as believers.
Oh, no, that was an error. See, we can get to talking, and we make inadvertent errors. I circle some of the typos that we encounter in our reading. But,
yes, ma'am.
They are definitely non-believers, flat earth thinkers, and there are other distortions in the reality of Allah's creation that, quote-unquote, modern man, right? Modern man, pre-modern man persist in having today, trying to establish it as the truth. And everything else in the Creator's truth and universe registers it as falsehood. So we have to encourage our listeners and our participants to be very careful in observing the common popular ideas that are floating around, violating the character of science today with an extended amount of spirituality. The Imam called it a hyper-spirituality that was exemplified in the Africa of pre-slavery days, in the early colonial days. And for us to take advantage and embrace whatever information Allah blesses us to find, especially the wonderful work of the three volumes of Ramadan Sessions, edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, clarifying the Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah, his blessed tafsir given him and granted by Allah. So I'm going to stop right there and just emphasize that Allah is teaching with his creation, right? And he's trying to show us the certain truth and the sure reality so that we can progress and move and advance as the new creation that he has made and has in fact slated to be received by those human beings who believe in him and who believe in what he has created, that is the first reality and it is the last reality. So, Brother Kareem, I'm going to stop right there. Just please. Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. We thank you. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Allah shares with us in the Quran that this creation is a deception. It's a deception. You're looking at something. Mm-hmm. You can say, well, yeah, that's a tree. Well, that's what we named it. But the internal content, the genetic structure, the molecular structure, the protein, the vitamins, the minerals that make up that. We don't readily see that. We don't readily see that. So that's part of the unseen world. That's part of the unseen world. And that what that we, matter of fact, in the Quran, Imam Muhammad have told us, in your reading of the Quran, there's a first reading that's at the surface level. Really, that's for the individual. That's surface level. And then there is a third reading that is community-based. You get a deeper understanding. There's a, that second reading takes you deeper into what is being presented. Then there is a third reading, and that is when you're reading at the universal level from the Quran.
Yeah.
Praise be to
And Brother Kareem, don't mm-hmm. we? That's such a beautiful explanation. And don't we encourage our listeners to go back, if they have these volumes, read it again once we've gone through it
mm-hmm.
with you collectively mm-hmm. on the line, because Allah will allow and bless us to draw specific nuggets of gold
mm-hmm.
information out according to what our interest and curiosity propels us to. So it's an unending source and wealth of information, because Allah is, like you said, all the systems of knowledge. He created systems of knowledge we can't even fathom, right? But if we are led by our freedom of intellect and our curiosity, that's that motor that keeps us going, right? We will discover and be able to benefit from a huge amount of Allah's grace and blessing on us. Inshallah, Allah will bless us with that. Remember, much of what's going on in this world is an illusion. It's not a reality. We have to search and be granted access to Allah's reality. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Mahasin. Praise be to Allah. So we are grateful to the knowledge and science that Almighty God is blessing the human being with. Praise be to Allah. So returning back to the reading, the Imam mentions that it's possible that there are some people that have rejected science and they don't accept that the earth rotates around the sun and all of that. So he goes on further. He says, so we're putting ourselves back. We're going back in time. We're going to stand in the position of prehistory man now. And we're like Abraham, observing the universe to try to find out what is the truth. And we see the sun coming up like that. So we think, like all other people, that the sun actually sleeps in the earth at night and comes up in the day to light our world and serve our world. If you read the Bible and the New Testament, may even the Old Testament, but I definitely know it's in the New Testament, you will know that men who were talking about the creation and about God were actually seeing the creation from this pre-science viewpoint, because they saw the sun as a symbol for their God. Oh, God, why don't you show us your face? Oh, God, why do you sleep? That sun. Even the sun, they're reading what they saw in the sun, that his world is under darkness. Rise up like the sun from our rested light, our world. heart of earth, the next subject matter, heart of earth is potential in the intellect. The imam proceeds further. Don't forget, we're talking about potential. The potential in the earth, in the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth means the potential in man's intellect. All right? That's what we're talking. Now, that's the point we're trying to establish in Egyptian myth, religious myth, on the science of the dead and the living as hell. They believe that the sun came up out of the earth. They say the sun comes up and we see it, and then it goes down and passes through the darkness under the earth. And going through that darkness is the underworld. That's the underworld. It's the world of darkness. And it's also the world of the suffering souls, the souls in torment. And it frees itself from that. So what keeps it going is what keeps it going is trials, difficulty, while suffering all of that. And it has to go through all of that to prepare it to rise again. One small statement from me as a small child, we believe hell was under the earth. We visualize hell. Hell was under the earth. Hellfire. Okay, let me move forward. And I know I'm not the only one. And isn't this a belief in man? Many philosophers, addressing the ups and downs of man's life, say that his bitterness in his life is necessary to prepare him to appreciate the sweetness, to move him on to have an appetite strong for the sweetness. So suffering makes him stronger in his appetite for the sweetness. And the sweetness pretty soon wears off the setting of the sun and puts him in trouble again. He has to go through hell again and the bitterness again. One serves the other, and the two regulate the whole so that man's life is continuous. Death, in that sense, stimulates life or urges man to life again. After he suffers his death so long, and then the life gets born to him, and he wants and he wants to rest, and he rests too long, and he finds himself in hell again. So this is like a rotation, the explanation for the life of the world, what keeps it going. Another sunrise. Another subject matter added to the overarching subject matter. Another sunrise. So the sun now, when it rises up, what should I read out of this? What message should I get out of this? That's the thinker. He says, what message should I get out of this? He finally comes to the idea that sun represents the light, represents the light of his creation, the moral and rational light in his own creation, and that it has to rise up out of his body. And he sees himself as a microcosm, and the outer world is the macrocosm. And just as it has to break free of the chambers of the macrocosm, I have to break free of my ignorance. So it's the awake mind, the mind waking up. Waking up to its sleep in death, or in the static world, the dead world, waking up from sleep, and it comes up and it shines. In fact, in fact, that it is a gradual light It comes gradually. It's soft on the eyes at first, but when you see it, it's hard on the eyes, very bright. And when it's very bright, it's on your level. When it's hurting for you to look at it, it's on your level. You don't have a tendency to look at it when it's above your head. But when it's on your level, that's when you have a tendency to look at it. And if you do, it's punishing the eyes. So this is a sign that what? This is a sign that what? The educator, the person who is blessed with knowledge, when he first gets it, he's not wise. So the way he shows himself to you on your level, if he tried to talk to you on your level, it is too hard on your eyes. So the same thing, the same reality is on the other side. That's the point. During our day, when they have their beautiful day of night, and during their days, we have our beautiful day of night. So actually, both realities are below the earth and above the earth. Correct? And we know we're not talking stick science now when we're talking about below the earth and above the earth. So the same thing that happens under the earth happens also above the earth. But in our kindergarten mind, to the perception of the standing in prehistory time, nothing is up under there but darkness. Above is the light in the day. And at night, all we see is the sky and its canopy of stars, right? But if there's darkness up under there, then that's what they're seeing. That's what they have. That's what will be there, the canopy of the stars, not the sun. So if the sun is sleeping, the sun is like us. If it is conscious of what is going on at that time, it will see a beautiful sky, correct? Yes. If the sun is really sleeping, so we are using the present myth. If the sun is really sleeping, now, if it has really gone out and it's dark, then it has a night. And it'll be seeing the same thing we see at night, correct? So it's not the hell or the torment that brings another sunrise. It is the rest and the beauty that God shows us when we're rested that makes possible another sunrise. Let me stop right here. Praise be to Allah. Those of you that are hearing this, haven't you had a thought, a problem that you were trying to solve and you were unsuccessful? Then you say, wait a minute. Let me sleep on this. And you go to sleep. And the next morning or the next day in the daylight, you get the answer because you went into the darkness. You went into the recesses of your thinking unconsciously, and Allah bless your conscience with the answer, gave you the science of whatever you are dealing with. I'll stop right there. Oh, let me open up Mahasin's. Mahasin?
Yes.
I see your mic is still open. Is there anything you would like to share at this time?
Oh, gosh, yes. You really stimulated my experience for me to rethink it that I had last week. A sister, we were talking about the need for really rejuvenating restful time. So she was a practitioner of meditation. And she had identified a couple of channels on the internet where there were meditation experience. It's like what you were saying before. There was the picture of the night just encrusted with stars.
and the quiet and then the soft music playing afterwards. And so I told Oscar, I said, well, send me the link. Let me take a look at it. Perhaps it would promote my relaxation at night. And I clicked it on, and it was so beautiful, the environment that was created, and experiencing the richness of darkness. And the blessing, one of the things that I was grateful for is that it had a different meaning for me, because calm night, crickets crowing, etc., takes you deeper into the levels of relaxation and ultimately descends you into a relaxing sleep. They call it the alpha level, the beta level, the theta level of sleep, right? But it's a rejuvenating, Brother Kareem, a life-giving rest. They say that sleep is the twin of death. Yes, because certain procedures in the body can mimic death when we are asleep and unconscious. But there's an active growth and elevation that's taking place at the same time. And yes, the physical sun is never asleep. Just because we can't see it, it doesn't mean it's asleep. It has its eyes closed. It's doing its due diligence on the other side of the earth. So it's a constant evolution revolving in supplying the universe with the energy that Allah created it to give. So I'll stop right there. But thank you.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. I'm calling on Michael Hamid now. Do he have any commentary he would like to share? And everyone that's on this line, I ask you to press one on your phone and share your thoughts from what we're sharing here at this time. Michael, is your phone on mute, or shall
yes,
I proceed
further? Proceed. So I'm still processing a lot of this.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm going back and reread this, you know. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm going back and ingest it, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, we want to move forward in the presentation that the Imam is making. Okay. The idea of the potential, that potential dies, goes to sleep, to itself, to its own aim, to its own objectives, or to its own struggle. It goes to sleep, and in resting its own program. Allah blessed it to see His program. So the potential is like sleeping or dead, dormant. It becomes active upon the germ or the potential. The potential itself brings it to become active. When the potential has rested enough, the potential rests enough, then the same potential that said, rest, I need rejuvenation, that same potential says, get up, I'm bored. So the same thing, praise be to Allah, so the same thing that brought you to rest also brings you to rise again and back to work. It says, and He has created the night for rest, quote from the Quran. It says, and He has created the night for rest and created the day for activity. Praise be to Allah. Okay. There's so much. That's current. That's loaded. That is current. That is so, you know, at one time, it was part of the protocol of physicians to take a midday nap. They no longer practice that. But that was the protocol of doctors, that they step away, go take a nap, rest, then come back to your patient or your project. I'm just saying. So praise be to Allah. Okay. The rest is very important. Praise be to Allah.
Beautiful.
Yes, ma'am.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So the potential itself brings it to become active. When the potential has rested enough, then the same potential that said, rest, I need rejuvenation. That same potential says, get up, I'm bored. So the same thing that brought you to rest also brings you to arise again and back to work. And it says, and he has created the night for rest and created the day for activity. Next subject matter, addressing the overarching subject matter. Sounding clay. Kathleen Tiflin, baby and clay. Kathleen and Tiflin, baby clay. So the imam proceeds further. So if you're told that he's on a mountain, believe it or not, in his sacred chamber, believe it or not, then it goes on to give you parables. And the best one is, as Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights, I believe it said, so shall the Son of Man heart of the earth. You can tell.
No, you kind of distant. Okay. Imam has gone out of the host seat momentarily. So inshallah we'll continue. Son of Man. You can tell that they were reading this understanding from the symbol sun, because in the English, quote, S-O-N, unquote, and, quote, S-U-N, unquote, are pronounced the same. They're homonyms, sun and sun. Okay, he's back. I stopped at homonyms, Imam.
Yeah, okay. This is before God as a potter?
No, sir, we didn't get that far yet. We were still dealing with Tiflin baby and clay.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Michael. I had a technical problem in representing that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I'll start at sounding clay, Kathleen Tiflin, baby and clay. So if you're told that he's on a mountain, believe it or not, in his sacred chamber, believe it or not, then it goes on to give you parables. And the best one is, as Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights, I believe it says, so shall the Son of Man be. Yes. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Son of Man, you can tell that they were reading this understanding from the symbol, sun. Because in English, sun and sun are pronounced the same. They're homonyms. Sun and sun are homonyms. Do this have any place in Islamic teachings or science? Yes. The translator translates the teen. And it says, and he made the man from sounding clay. Sounding clay. Clay that gives off a sound. How are we to understand that language of the scholars? Sounding clay. We're clay. And as clay that is a fresh clay, we're like babies. Tiflin, same letters, just change the vowels and you get Tiflin. Tiflin. Tiflin, Tiflin. One means clay and the other means baby. That's to reveal that, in history, at one time, man thought of a baby as fresh clay. And it's in the Bible, the potter as working with fresh clay. And then it depicts God, too, by suggesting that God is the potter, that God is the one that takes our flesh, that takes our fresh clay, and mold it into the human form that he wants and gives it its permanent form, like the potter who works with the clay. And then he bakes it. After he bakes it in the form that he wants, After he puts it in the form that he wants, he bakes it, puts it under trial, form the trial of heat. He puts it under the trial of heat until it bakes it and hardens it. And then he has it fixed in the form that he wants to keep for it. That means fixed in our convictions. We believe we become fixed in our convictions, and then we're not so impressionable. We're not so impressionable. God pictured as a potter. Next subject matter. God pictured as a potter. Our form can't be shaped by a little touch from the world or little encounters with the world. And that clay, the scholar said, has a ring. What does it mean? It means that man, once he is established upon conviction, that he communicates and articulates. When he's convinced that he is established upon this, this is a conviction. I'm convinced of this. Then he will boldly tell us about his conviction. He will communicate his life conviction to us. But when he's unestablished, unfixed, not fixed in his thinking or in his position, he's like soft clay. And you hit soft clay and it's a dull sound, hardly anything, like a baby. Soft clay is like a baby talking, and the resounding voice is the man talking. So one is fresh clay and the other one is baked clay that holds its shape. It resists any influence from the outside to change its shape. It would rather break up and crumble up than to be altered. Actually, the Lord himself is pictured as a potter working on the form or the shaping of man's life. So the earth being in its soil or in its surface level would be like the baby. Quote from the Quran. And he made man from mud, fashioned into shape. End of quote. The translator says, all of that is not in the Quran. He extracts that. He arrives at that from the study of what the Quran says. He arrives at that. And he made his man from mud fashioned into shape. So the earth, or its surface that we depend upon for our life and everything, it's like the baby, isn't it? And then the potential comes up. It's freed from it. And it begins to affect the environment over it. And pretty soon, we have climate. And climate comes to nourish the dead matter. Pretty soon, we have plants jumping up out of the earth, and they hold their shape. they resist losing their shape. Soon, we have a man formed out of the earth, and he is relating to the other thing that the earth has produced or started up. And in time, the symbol, sun, becomes a reality on the surface of the earth, right? The sun is the sentinel in the life that springs up. This is another subject matter relating to the overarching idea. The sun is the sentinel, or guard, my word, in the life that springs up. The potential forms on the earth, and he's called the son of man. When that potential is full, it's called the son, S-O-N, parenthesis, S-U-N. It's called the son, S-O-N, in parenthesis, S-U-N, of man. And he's not hard on your eyes. He's easy on your eyes. The potential, if you look at it stripped of its evolution, is too hard on your eyes. But if you see it in its evolution, my words here, as it is evolving, but if you see it in its evolution, that is the earth with its great production. Do you follow that? You should. But if you don't, I can help you. If you tell me, but you should follow it. It should be simple and easy to understand, because after all, the sun is nothing but the sentinel in the life that springs up, isn't it? It gives us energy as the earth feeds the earth its life, and the earth takes its life, takes the life of the sun, and then forms to the life intended in that plan for it. Whatever you're talking about, plant, animal, or man. So, if we would say the sun has action, found a home in the cultivated earth, we would be speaking the truth. That's why, after it has lighted our earth, our world, it goes to rest, because that's all its purpose was. Now, you know, a day with man is a long time with God, it says in the scripture, right? So what we see as a day is not a day, but a long span of time. Mm-hmm. Let me share with you another public service announcement as I open the phones of Mohsen Abdul-Salam. I'm looking forward to hearing from you after these brief public service announcements. And Michael, if you have anything to add, we definitely look forward to what you to your valuable contribution. And those of you that are hearing this broadcast, we look forward to your commentaries. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to the Contemplations of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. We ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. I hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
And we are back. You're listening to the contemplations of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and we are sharing from out of volume one of the Ramadan, of the collection of Ramadan sessions from out of Athens, Georgia. The year was 1996. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And we are grateful to be sharing this valuable insight and information over the airways of American Muslim 360. But I want to, if any of you have any statements or questions in regards to what has been presented, we ask that you press one on your phone, and I will open up your mic. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we shall move forward. The potential is not rising just 24 hours of our time, explaining that day. Maybe it took 24 million years, or a billion, or trillion years, for that to come out of dead matter and go into the processes of life and bring us to be evolved as a community of intelligent, civilized people, getting the benefits from all the things that the potential has fed. The New Testament, another subject matter. New Testament was trying to correct the idea of Son of Man being God. The Imam goes forward. He says, so you see that big picture of the Son, S-O-N, in parentheses, S-U-N, the Son of Man, who sacrificed his own life that you may have life. That's what they're reading. That language comes from what I'm telling you now. He sacrificed his life that you may have life, and you, yes, that you may have life, and you can't look at him directly. From then, they say he's God. He's not God. He is our potential. He is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is our potential. And really, in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's trying to correct that idea. But the language that's used is so difficult that they missed it and thought it was really giving them more support for their idea that man is God. And it was really trying to correct that idea. This idea comes from creation myths. Don't underestimate myths. There were great minds writing myths. So the creation myth depends on where it comes from, Mesopotamia, Egypt, or elsewhere. Another subject. Maybe myths have idea that the sun is the father and the earth is the mother. But most of these myths have the same idea, and that is that the sun is the father, generator of life on earth. The earth is the mother. The sun is the father, and the sun is born first of the mother. Then the sun puts its life on the mother to be born again. So the next sunrise, symbolically speaking, is another child, another son, S-U-N, parenthesis, S-O-N, another son. Every sunrise is another sun, S-U-N. Just like the Indians in their myth, once the moon completes its phases, it's another moon. Every time the sun rises in their minds or in their myths, it's another sun. And they count the days by the number of suns. So this reading by prehistory man, pre-science man, by the pre-modern science man is where the ideas come from. This language about the son of man and the language about why do you sleep? Oh, Lord, my God, why sleepest thou? All of that language is coming from that same language, that same myth, mythical language. And then the New Testament comes to tell them that the creation myths are not really to be interpreted the way that they have interpreted those myths. That actually the son, S-O-N, of man is the son of the son. Let me spell these sons as I'm pronouncing them. Yeah, so that we stay, don't get confused. Okay. Okay, to be interpreted the way that they interpreted those myths. That actually the son, S-O-N, of man is the son, S-O-N, of the Son, S-O-N. And the Son is not God, but man's potential. So really, in our language, Adam is the Son, and the prophets, and the enlightened one that come behind him on his aura are the sons of man. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Praise be to every prophet, every righteous messenger of God was a light from God to us. It lit up our world. It took us to greater vision. They were able to see clearly. So they could be metaphorically identified as sons of man, like the man is alluding to here. Mm-hmm.
I believe this process that the imam is sharing is calling us to think critically, to critically use our intelligence. And following logic and how language is trying. Language is a test. And the language of mythology needs to be properly understood. And if it's not understood properly, then we get the wrong understanding and the wrong utility from the picture language that's being given. And this is what we've come to in the world today, a misreading of scripture, and not by accident, but by the direction and invitation of the devil himself. Because when we, just as he lied to Father Adam, you won't really die. Your eyes are going to come open. That was the saying of Iblis as he was moving towards becoming the Satan and challenging God's will and plan for man. So this presentation, Imam is helping us to understand the problems of language and also the correction of those problems in language. And I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. We have an excellent example of an ancient civilization that mankind is very in awe of. They're in awe of the civilization and the science that came from out of Misri, commonly called Egypt. Their writing is called hieroglyphics. And when you look at their writing, you see pictures. You see pictures. And each picture has a meaning to it. I have seen in hieroglyphics a straight line drawn, and it looked like a sun coming up over the straight line with rays. That's one of the symbols in hieroglyphic writing. They use birds as symbols, a lot of birds as symbols in the hieroglyphic writing. And man is yet over there trying to decipher and see what is the meaning of these symbols. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Let me move forward. Mohassan, do you have anything you would like to share? Is there anyone that would like to share this time?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Michael, for signaling me that my mic was open. Thank you. Oh, I'm just, it's amazing the consciousness that is provided through tafsir. And Michael said that the wrong understanding can lead to the wrong use or implementation or operational program that we're on. So it's important that the creation myths, among all the other myths you mentioned, Imam Kareem, about Egypt or Mizraim, the ancient name of Egypt, and how the hieroglyphics were symbols that they received as a blessing to translate into reality their environment and their lives. And I'm thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking that that's what Allah means when he says, this day have I chosen for the Quran the language of Arabic so that you will become wise. He said many times that he made Arabic easy. So those that are concerned, oh, I'll never learn Arabic. It's just too hard. It's too different. No. It had been created specially to be useful to the human being. Doesn't matter what country you come from, what side of the earth you're on. If you are a human inhabitant, Allah, or God, the Creator, in his universal fullness, has created one language that would be the code and the opening for universal understanding on the level that the human being, the common man, can grasp. And this is such a blessing and a benefit for us. And Imam Muhammad's grace and blessings of the tafsir, how Allah tutored him, mentored him through turning him to the model of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, convinced him over time as he grew up, you could do this.
Alhamdulillah. That's right.
Yeah. He was 13
for the mission.
When he was left alone in his big house. Usually they had such a big family, there was always somebody around. He was the next to youngest child. But this night, when his mother and father, Yang Bilaj Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, had to go to a meeting at the temple, they said, son, we're going to leave you here. He was doing his homework. So it wasn't a biggie. He wasn't scared because that would give him time to focus on completing his homework. But when he finished his homework, he said the house began to talk to him. You know how an empty house will creak on you, right? It'll sound like it's talking to you. And after a while, he got scared because it sounded like somebody was actually in the house with him. And so he ran out and he searched the room. He went down to the basement. He even says he saw an apparition there. Looked like a group of people sitting around a table, quietly doing something, but they looked like they had dust on them, right? So he shook his head and he went back up. He said, no, I'm not going to get scared. But when he returned to his room and prepared to go to bed, his fear came back. And he raised his little 13-year-old hand, like we do in dua, to Allah. And he said, Allah, I need your help. If I'm seeing you wrong as God, he said, will you correct me and tell me how to perceive you in your reality as you actually are? And like you said, Imam Kareem, the rest is history. Because Allah answered his prayer. And that's the same prayer, honestly, that every human being is born with that level of curiosity. We may not tell anybody, right? Because we may be made to think it's kind of weird, right? But in our heart of hearts, the heart of the earth, we are wondering because that's a natural part of our process as human beings. And if we keep or institute a search and a seeking, what does Allah say? I will bring you to the answer. I will answer your call. I will always answer your call. So I want to encourage all of those who are listening, no matter how you think you may be ridiculed as having confusion, the wrong idea, you know, a misconception, the purity is in your potential, and only Allah has power over that. And if you ask him to clarify your thinking and bring you to a consciousness where it makes sense, he will. We're witness of that, right, for the Kareem? He will.
Yes, we are.
He will answer your prayer. So I'm going to stop right there. Don't get me started, okay?
It's too late. You already you left the block. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for those words of inspiration. Praise be to Allah. Okay. We want to proceed further. You know, there's something that the Imam said here that the Indians, they thought that every time a sun rose, that it was a new sun. And being a little boy and looking at Western movies, the European would have a conversation with the indigenous people here, and they would question them on time. How long will this take? And they wrote in the script, it would take many moons, plural, many moons. So they were somewhat part of that mythological teaching also. And guess what? We are using language. Well, no, I won't go there because I don't want to be attacked.
Yeah.
But we say let's fight the new moon.
Yes.
That's language. I would think that it's attached to the myth concerning the moon. We're not going to fight the new moon. We are going to fight the Hilal.
Hilal. Yeah.
So
we have a different calendar. Many people are surprised when we share with them we operate on a lunar calendar governed by the cycles of the moon, not a solar calendar as the rest of the world does.
Right. But I'm pointing to our language. I believe we should call it what it is. I think that new moon idea comes from out of what the Imam is expressing here.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the moon is rising, it's a new moon, or a different sun. So I'm only suggesting to us as Muslims that we look at that and see, is that oppressive language that keeps us, unbeknownst to us, locked in Jahiliyyah myth? That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We began to use the correct language, the Hilal.
Excellent.
I would like to share that just as the followers of the Torah, the script of the scripture of the Jewish people, we use both for our particular events and dealing with the history of how Al-Islam grew. Certain occasions are identified by the moon, but also in our day-to-day work, we use the Gregorian calendar, the calendar, the calendar of, I guess you could call it commerce, our business dealings. We utilize the same calendar that's dealt with in the world of business. And also in terms of the sun, the Imam is talking about this pre-scientific mind, but and giving explanation to the pre-scientific thinking of the time. But the suns also can be seen in terms of a movement of progression in terms of the light of the prophets from Adam to the other prophets coming into the world. That is a progressional movement, you know, in the prophets as well as the scriptures that they brought. And I'll stop there.
Thank you. Yes, sir. That's the connection that the Imam is making in this presentation. The prophets are identified as sons. I'll stop right there. Because that's a wonderful statement. Praise be to Allah, the Imam is introducing here to us. Inshallah, we will come up with a language that liberates us from the language of myth. Inshallah. Inshallah. Okay. Now, I want to read further. The Imam says here, I'll start here. Just like the Indians in their myth, once the moon completes its phases, it's another moon. Every time the moon rises in their mind or in their myth, it's another. Every time, just like the Indians in their myth, once the moon completes its phase, it's another moon. Every time the sun rises in their mind or in their myth, it's another sun. After they count the days by the number of suns. So this reading by prehistory man, pre-science man, by the pre-modern science man is where the ideas come from. This language about the son of man and the language about why do you sleep, O Lord, my God? Why sleepest thou? All of that language is coming from that same language, that same myth, mythical language. And then the New Testament comes to tell them that the creation myths are not really to be interpreted the way they interpreted those myths. That actually the Son of Man, S-O-N, is the Son of the Son. And the Son is not God, but man's potential. So really, in our language, Adam is the son, and the prophets and the enlightened ones that come behind him on this surah are the sons of man. Understand? Next subject matter. The Bible reasons that the creation of God is the Son of God. So, That's what the New Testament is trying to show. It says in Luke that the genealogy of Christ goes back to Adam, who was the son of God, S-O-N, who was the son of God. Okay, so what is the reasoning now? How do we understand this kind of reasoning that really Jesus, peace be on him, is the son of Adam, and his genealogy goes back to Adam and no further. And Adam is now the creation of God. And by that reasoning, the son of God, meaning descended from God, or the creation of God, that's what it means. Allah tells us that's exactly the way we're supposed to understand it. He is the creation of God. The Bible reasons that the creation of God is the Son of God. So in man's mind, especially without correction, who is he after when he's tracing his lineage? Is he after a father, like the father he sees immediately, or is he after that generated him the first time? So what the scripture is saying is misunderstood. It's not saying that God is Adam's father or Jesus' father. Peace be on them. In the biological content, or in man's knowledge of his own creation, no, not in that context. No, Yeah. But it's only saying that man wants to trace his path. He wants to go back to discover how he came about. And he can only do that by tracing my father, his father, his father. And if he keeps going back, he comes to the first father, Adam. And how did the first father get here? First father get here? God made him. God did it. And you know we say, hey, man, you made a pretty baby there, man. You didn't make that baby. You had sex with your wife, and God made the baby. But you say, oh, man, you made a pretty baby there. So he wants to know, who made me the first time? Who generated me the first time? Next subject matter. Quran comes with the perfect exegesis.
Imam, we have a caller.
Oh, okay. Yes, thank you, my brother. Alhamdulillah, because my eyes is on the reading. Thank you, Michael. Okay, I'm opening up the phone lines of Bilal Abdullah, the poet laureate of American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum. Take your phone off of mute, Bilal.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to give greetings to Brother Michael, Sister Mahasan, and the listening audience. So greetings because something I wrote.
What about me? What about me?
Oh, buddy, look.
That's okay, man.
Being you, I thought you had gave it to me. I'm sorry, brother. Alhamdulillah. Okay. The first life was supported by the natural environment. Man had to survive before civilization or development. Without that support, you wouldn't have gotten to science, education, and industry. Creation is giving us what we need. We won't never accept poverty. So we have more knowledge of life as a community or in a community. Today, we are living in a society that helps our families, and we are supplying neighborly needs. God consciousness, self-salvation, and homelessness. Mutual consultation, helping us to be our best. Our lack of understanding causes us to get upset. Seeking to understand life, helping others to live right. We want to be the best servants we can be, solving problems that plague humanity. We have to love to solve, serving God above all. The prophet, the mercy, the same goes for you and me. No longer can we do good deeds. Those deeds we do only seeking God's pleasure. Creation gives up its treasures, allows bounties without measure. Help our children, they are the future, seeking to understand life, helping others to live right. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Bilal, thank you. The first revelation that Allah, the first revelation that Allah sent to our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his messenger was instructing the humanity to read the creation. And in that, Allah says, and know that Allah is most bountiful.
Yeah.
Allah is most bountiful.
That's right.
Thank you, my brother. What a wonderful connection.
Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me for interjecting. I think it's really, I'm hearing, you know, you have these special ears that Allah will give us from time to time, but I'm hearing the loudest sigh of satisfaction from our listeners for you to share and read the exact procedure that evidently Allah wanted us to know
through the tafsir that he gave Imam W.D. Muhammad, I'm hearing a sigh of relief and satisfaction on the demystification, demythological mystification of the origin of man. And like you were saying, the explanation of the genealogy or the lineage, so we can understand it, the human being, and it makes sense to us. And we are grateful because of how it clarifies our logic, right? It was so interesting. It was so interesting, Michael, the book that Sister Sakina wrote on Maryam, the prophetess. And she clarified through Quranic evidence, listing out, researching, and listing out the verses where the Quran verifies and bear witness to the fact that Maryam was considered the most perfect woman because Allah inspired her. It was not normal during those time or popular to think of women as being inspired like the prophets. But indeed, Allah said so many times in the Quran that he chooses to inspire whom he pleases.
Yes.
And he chooses to leave wandering whom he pleases. And that has no gender identification.
Right.
I thought about the wonderful work that Henry Louis Gates, the scholar who conducts on PBS the roots of finding out your roots. And he does exactly what you were describing in the reading here. He selects people that he enjoins his research team to dig deeply and trace every connection back to determine who their ancestors were and who they really are as a result of their ancestors. And so many of them have come up with their mouths dropped on the floor, so shocked and surprised at the connections of their genealogy and therefore the ethnicity, the compilation of their variety of you know what I'm trying to say, right? I can't get my words together. You know, and so I'm a regular watching that program every Tuesday night here in New York. But that finally took me back to the story of Maryam after she birthed the baby. Isa, baby Jesus, alayhi salam. And she began to get these inquiries from her family. And they were treating her like we have lived to see some of our single mothers treated and verbally abused. You know, Mary, where you get that baby? You're not married. You know, we're not a family that does that. We don't have babies out of wedlock. What are you doing? How are you going to explain this? Because we want you to come visit us and tell us exactly what happened. And when she appealed to Allah, help me, Allah said, that's all right, I got another plan, Maryam. He sent the angel to her to tell her, you will be mandated to fast, not from food, but from words, when you go visit your family. And no matter how many questions they ask you, Allah told her, all I want you to do is point to the arms and let the baby speak. And when she arrived at her family, they besieged her, just like she thought, with all of these questions and doubts. And she obeyed Allah. She didn't say a mumbling word. She pointed to the baby Isa. And he spoke in clear terms. First thing out of his mouth, my mother is a chaste woman. Don't even go there. to assume that I'm a result of her inchastity, immodesty. Not going to have it. And then he went on to explain the miracle of his birth. And I know every mouth in that room was on the floor. Because the truth is the light. So I'll stop right there, dear. Sorry to go on.
No, thank you for that excellent sharing concerning Jesus in relationship to his mother. Praise be to Allah. And we stand on that that Almighty God said, be, and he was. That's it. Be, and he was. There is another, and we look at that. I don't want to go off topic, but when we look at our own maturity, our own maturation, we have people among us that although we were still in the crib, we were still among animals. There were people from out of that community that had the voice of a man. Frederick Douglass. And it goes on and on. So praise be to Allah, these are patterns that Allah has set in the creation and for man. Although he didn't come from Harvard or some of these prestigious schools of learning, Allah blesses whomsoever he will. Can any good come from out of Nazareth? Nazareth was like Black Bottom Detroit. Let me stop. But for real, I hope we understand what I'm saying here. So praise be to Allah. Thank you, Mahasi. Praise be to Allah. This is a pattern that Allah has placed before us, and we should utilize it. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I want to return back. I'll start here. Like we say, old man, you made a pretty baby. But we know God, my words here. Yeah, well, but I read what the imam said. Hey, man, you made a pretty baby there, man. Imam says, you didn't make that baby. You had sex with your wife, and God made the baby. But you say, oh, man, you made a pretty baby there. So he wants to know, who made me the first time? Who generated me the first time? Next subject matter. Quran comes with the perfect exegesis. So the scripture, though it's flawed, its language is not perfect. But if you understand, it's saying the right thing. So the Quran comes with the perfect exegesis and says, no, when he wants a son, he creates a son. He doesn't get a woman and have son like you do. He creates a son. But how does he create a son? He inspires a son. So everything goes into that son. From God. The inspiration is not the son or the man that's going to become a man. He's not receiving something from himself. He's receiving something from outside of himself. He's receiving something from God into his body before he's formed. I'm not going to say any more on that. You should be able to get it. I got it, brother, man. Okay. Let me, you know, let me start right here. Oh, boy, I've been informed we got 90 seconds left. But what came first? Was it the physical man, or was it the idea? Was it the concepts of the possibility and the potential for the man that came first? Although man did not exist, but God created the right formula before the man. God is foreknowing. So I'll stop right there. That should be enough. Okay.
And is it like they jokingly ask nowadays, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right, right. I can answer but God. God came
that's
first.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, the creator of it all. It's so beautiful. So beautiful.
Okay. I'm going to utilize a little grace time here, a little grace period. I've been informed we got 10 seconds, but we'll utilize a little grace time if allowed by Blog Talk. The next subject, Quran comes with the perfect exegesis. So the scripture, though it's flawed, its language is not perfect. But if you understand, it's saying the right thing. So the Quran comes with the perfect exegesis and says, quote from the Quran, "No. When he wants a son, he creates a son," end of quote. He doesn't get a woman and have sons like you do. He creates a son. But how does he create a son? He inspires a son. So something goes into that son from God. The inspiration is not the son or the man that's going to become a son. He's not receiving something from himself. He's receiving something from outside of himself. He's receiving something from God into his body before he's formed. I'm not going to say any more on that. You should be able to get it. The will of God is in man's potential. Next subject matter. He's receiving something into his body before he is actually formed. He hasn't even come into the consciousness yet, but that God is creating for him. He received this inspiration from God into his body, and the germ of inspiration begins to unfold and unfold and unfold, right? So now he's pregnant as a woman, huh? He's pregnant as a woman with divine inspiration, but he's not a man yet. He's not a man yet. God is going to create a man. He's not a man yet. He's only a womb. Praise be to Allah. He's only a womb. And after a while, God causes it to break free of the womb, and a son is born. And the son is not the son of God. It's the creation of God. Now, when we hear spirit, think of influence, all right? It says, when he wants a thing, it says, quote from Quran, when he wants a thing, he is only to say, be. And it is. He is only to say, kun, fayakun, be, and it exists. End of quote from the Quran. So actually, the will of God is in man's potential, isn't it? The will of God is in man's potential, and God has been so, and God has so willed it that certain men, when they need to get the benefit, a full benefit of the God-created potential, what happens? God is not talking like us. Do you think that there's a God up in the sky somewhere or in the earth somewhere that says be and then things automatically happen? No. It says when he wills a thing, when he wants a thing or wills a thing, he only says be and it is. This is mystical and philosophical. It takes a lot of blessings and insight to understand what this is saying. Let us pause right here. I want to say, share with you a conversation that the imam had with a young Muslim woman. She asked the imam, Imam Wahdadi Muhammad, where was I 100,000 years ago? Imam's answer to her was, you were on your way here.
Allahu Akbar. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you were already conceived. I mean, you were already, how can I put it? When God said be, there it was. You weren't physical yet.
Yeah. No.
But you were called into existence.
That's right.
From that standpoint.
That's
right. Stop right there. I don't want to go any further. I don't want to risk God cutting us off. So if you have any closing statements, Mahasan, Michael, Bilal, your mic is still open before we leave the air. You have any closing statements? First of all, I want to say we are grateful for those of you that attend every Sunday the contemplations of Imam Wahdadi Muhammad, Rahim Allah, Alayhi. Praise be to Allah. I see this as a very valuable broadcast where we stop. We don't just read it, you know, where we stop and discuss things, where we peel the onion. We peel back the layers of understanding and meaning. Praise be to Allah. This is so wonderful. Okay, I'll stop right there. Go ahead, Sister Mahasan.
Look, I'm so full, you know, and there's a lot to contemplate. So I'm going to do as I was recommending previously. I'm going to go back and read the sideline notes that I wrote while you were reading, ideas and reflections that came to mind. And I encourage our listeners and readers, owners of this amazing resource, divine resource to us that bears witness to the intentionality of our creation as human beings, explaining how we are designed to operate so that we can use that as a trajectory and focus for all that we intend and all that Allah bless us to be able to accomplish. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Wonderful, inspiring reading. Greetings to everyone else on the line, Brother Michael, and Brother Bilal, the poet, our consummate poet, Allahu Akbar, and our listening audience, who we invite to greater participation. This is your show, right? And we want you to show up and be involved in your way, in the best manner. May Allah bless you to do so.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem. Waalaikum assalam, Mahasan. Michael, you have any closing statements you'd like to make to share before we
thank you. I'd just like to share that the dynamics of the callers calling in, whether they press one to make a comment or not, the fact that you represent a gathering where the Holy Quran is being brought up by a leader who's been blessed with fresh eyes into Scripture are blessed with, and it's not an individual blessing per se. It's a blessing in regards to a process of God's mercy that a group of people that were brutalized and persecuted to an extreme extent, how the mercy of God has come to these people in terms of seeing Scripture more clearly so that they can utilize Scripture to advance the human life and the life of the community that we're associated with. We live in America. So this blessing comes to one of us, for us, and for the world. And I'll stop there.
Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. I want to invite the listening audience, if you would, tune into American Muslim 360 tomorrow morning for the broadcast of Living the Upload Life. It airs at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, entitled Living the Upload Life. This new technology that many of us have been introduced to has many benefits for us. We should learn the technology, don't be afraid of it, and utilize it as the gift that it is to human beings. The Upload Life, praise be to all. And it is hosted by our young, he's young to me. It is hosted by our brother, William Kareem, from out of New York City. Praise be to Allah. We look forward to your presence on that broadcast, The Upload Life. Praise be to Allah. Okay, this ends the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Muhammad, Rahim al-Alehi, and we all want to be grateful and thankful for all that Allah, He has blessed us richly, very richly. What we have heard is part of His blessings to us. In all of your getting, get you understanding. Praise be to Allah. So we came to you this evening with the greetings of peace. We leave you this evening with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain regardful of Almighty God, and remain and use succor. Be forever grateful and thankful for what the Creator has done for us, what the Creator is presently doing for us, and what the Creator shall do for us. We have to be grateful, and we have to be thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatton. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, sail and friend, Melon's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls still keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day.
But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough, can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can, try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Colors and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can, try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong, and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. Their life for the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.